today, just for the next few moments, you will be honored and glorified, and everything continue that is said and done here. For just the next few moments, take every word that is spoken, anoint it, use it, let it touch every heart and every life here. I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. And just give me just a few minutes. If you have your Bible, your iPhone, your iPad, your Android, whatever you use, open it up to Psalm 144. And I want to look at verse 12 there. I've been on the series for the last few weeks on taking inventory. And the verse of scripture is 1 Corinthians 2:15. It says, "He who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one." Because when you appraise, when you take inventory of your own life, no one else will have to. I love how it's in the Living Bible. It says, "The spiritual man has insight to everything, and it bothers and baffles the man of the world, who can't understand them at all." I just love that. And so today I want to encourage you to take an honest look at yourself in the mirror. I want you to take the inventory of your life. See where you're going. See what areas maybe that you can improve in and you could lend some more attention to. And make some changes. Do some alternative things of what you're doing right now. We've been on this now for 4 weeks. Week one, I said, are we living in the last days, according to taking inventory of our lives? Some people think that if they hear a preacher or a prophet say, this is the end days, now they're going to begin to live different. The reality of it is, each one of us are living in our last days. As Robbie said just a minute ago, you don't know whether today, tomorrow, next week, 20 years, or 50 years, you and I are living in our last days, and we need to live every day like it. Amen? Week two, I talked about taking inventory of our life in the area of being stressed out. And the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 10:10 that it says, if the axe is dull and its edge is unsharpened, more strength is needed. If you've ever cut wood in any way, if you don't stop and sharpen the blade, you work a whole lot harder and you get a whole lot less done. Some of you, you're stressed out in your life because you haven't stopped, you haven't pulled back, you haven't spent that time with God and with your loved ones to sharpen your blade. Come on today, get your blade sharpened. Week three was inventory on what is God's will for our lives. We hear so many things, but the Bible says in James 4:13, listen, you who say tomorrow, today or tomorrow, we'll go to this city or that city and spend a year there, carry on business and make money, and you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. He says, what is your life? You're a mist that appears for a moment, and then it's gone. He said, instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. And then last week, I talked about inventory concerning our family, taking family inventory. And you know, this is probably one of my favorite messages that I've shared in a long time. And I shared that about that it's time to gather stones. And I use the scripture out of Ecclesiastes 3:5, where it says there's a time to gather stones and a time to scatter and a time to gather. And it's taken out of that Old Testament verse out of Genesis chapter 31. And I'm not going to reiterate the whole message again, but Jacob had worked for his father-in-law, Laban, for several 20 years, and he had left him, and Laban was going to track him down and get what he thought was his. And the Bible says, the night before Laban was going to attack his son-in-law, Jacob, an angel of the Lord spoke to him and said, don't do what you were planning on doing. And that was a word for some that was in this house last week and for some that are here today, that maybe you're making plans in your life to do some things that are outside of the plan and the will and the purpose of God. And God sends his messenger to you today and says, don't do it. Hear the word of the Lord. And the Bible says, and it goes on to say in Genesis 31, 44 through 46, that instead of scattering stones, the Bible says that Jacob and Laban says, come now, let us make a covenant together and let us gather stones, because you and I have a choice today. We can either throw stones or we can gather stones. Come on today. And God wants you and I to take inventory of our lives and to see where we are on that. And today, I want to continue. And I'm just going to be just a few minutes concerning our children. And not only for our natural sons and our natural daughters, our natural grandsons and granddaughters, but for the society that God has given you and I to have dominion over and to oversee and to have influence on. That's why we take such importance and place such a high value on our children here. That's why we do the things that we do on a regular basis. And sometimes it pains my heart for some people, the good, well-meaning people, to say, you're doing too much for the kids. Let me tell you something. Our children are our next generation, and we need to pour into them and invest greatly in them every day of our lives. I saw a sign in a store some time ago, and it read, any children left unattended in our store will get a free espresso and a puppy. And this is the last thing that our children need. But what our children need is parents and families and grandparents that will pray for them and believe God for their lives. And sometimes our agenda, our lifestyles, they get so busy that we kind of take the most precious treasure that we have and we leave them without having the influence in their life that God has called us to have. And the Bible says in Psalm 144, and I want to look at verse 12, that David prayed a prayer. And this is so beautiful. And this is what he says. He says in Psalm 144, verse 12, let our sons in their youth be as grown-up plants, and our daughters as corner pillars fashioned as for a palace. Now, you could be here today and say, well, I don't have kids. This doesn't pertain to me. Yes, it does. It pertains to you and I for the reasons that I just quoted a moment ago, that we are called to a society of children today. My wife and I, we were in town yesterday, and I hope the person isn't here, but we were pulling down Harvester Avenue, and we looked across toward the 7-Eleven, and it was 45, 44 degrees. And there was a little boy about this tall standing outside with just his shorts on. And I looked and I said, we got to go over there. And I pulled over there. I pulled up my wife. She rolled down the window. She goes, are you okay? And all of a sudden, either the mom or whoever came out of the 7-Eleven, she says, oh, he's with me. And you don't want to do that to my wife. Let me just tell you right now. She gave 30 seconds of a what for to that family there. And sooner, yeah, amen. Because God said, let our sons in their youth be as plants grown up, and our daughters as corner pillars fashioned for a palace. Love this. Listen to this. The first thing he says, let our sons in their youth be as grown up plants. He's not telling our young boys to act their age, but to act beyond their age, to go beyond the years of our youth. David was praying for the young men, our sons and our grandsons, that they would move beyond the cultural norms and begin to have maturity, not only beyond their years, listen, but beyond their peers. Just because everybody else is doing it or going there or participating in this does not mean that that's what they should do. And we as fathers and grandfathers and men and women of God should instill into our children, into our young men, vision and grow them up with disciplines and attitudes that will launch them in to the manhood that God has called and prepared for them to be. And the issue for them is whether or not they should or they shouldn't. The issue should be, how is this going to affect my life? Years ago, a young boy began to come into our church with another family and another young boy. And this young boy gave his heart to Jesus, and he was on fire bringing his Bible. He was at every time the church opened, and his mother came to visit me one day, and she says, I'm not sure about what's happening to my son. And I go, what do you mean? The hand of the Lord is on him. He's doing great things. She said, well, I don't want him to miss all the fun that he is supposed to have as a young boy. And what essentially what she was telling me is, I want him to go out and party with his friends. I want him to drink, do drugs, have sex. And then when he's all done with that, then he can come back and be your perfect little church boy. Well, let me tell you something. Fast forward a few years. Because she was the parent and did that, that young boy never came out of that lifestyle. Come on, my brothers and sisters, today we are to train our children up in the way that they should go and keep them from the things that will soil their lives. Dear God, I'm passionate about this because, you know, I had a call about this when my children were young, but now with grandchildren, I see this at a whole another dimension that I'd never seen it before. And David is saying that our sons in their youth can grow up in maturity and in relationships, not from what their peers say, but from what God says about their lives, and to find out what God has created for each and every one of them. I have had the joy, my wife and I, of raising our children up in the house of the Lord from the day that they were born. And I'm telling you, we've been in services with them when they were young that sometimes went from 2 hours to 4 hours long at a night service. And we'd scoop those kids up at night. They were sleeping sound asleep on the floor in the church, and we'd scoop them up and we'd take them home. And I'm not saying here today that longer services are better. But what I am saying is that as parents, that you and I should be willing to go the distance with our children if we're going to see the best that God has for them. And you can't worry every moment that you think, well, they've got to do this or they got to do that. And then you release them to go and do the things in the world that eventually will harm and hurt them. Come on, moms and dads, check your inventory. Get it right and start giving them over to the things of God. This last summer, our kids all went to Camp Laterno, as they've done for years. And I've gone and stopped in for a service once in a while. But a few weeks before, I was standing right down front, and my grandson Gabe was standing next to me. He was singing his heart out, and I sensed the Lord speak to me. I want you to go to camp with him. I had no idea what it meant. I had no idea what my schedule meant, but I went to his dad. We talked. I cleaned my schedule, and I went to camp with my grandson. And we got settled in. And they had a leader meeting what was going to go on that week. And they were talking about all the things and trying to be relevant with the kids. And you know, the way I am. And I said, hey, you know, I just want to put this up. Our kids need an encounter with God. But I love games. I love having fun. I love all that. We need to do that. But unless our children have an encounter with God, nothing will change in their lives. And little did I know, the second night into it, that God would just move and let me get up and share some of my testimony and how God had touched my life when I was young. I was born up in an alcoholic home. My dad was abusive. My mom, my dad died. My brother died. My sister died. My mom was hanging on by a thread. And I had an encounter with God that changed my life forever. And that night I began to share that with him and I gave my testimony. I said, tonight is a night where you can have that same kind of encounter. And if you want that, come. And 95% of all those little young plants came down in the front. And my grandson Gabe was standing right in the middle of it. Oh, thank God for that. I'm telling you, you need to hear the voice of the Lord for your sons and your grandsons. And you usher them into the place of maturity where they can grow into what God has called and created them to be. The second thing he says in that verse, he says, and our daughters as corner pillars fashioned as for a palace. And what are you saying here? He's saying, let them feel out of place in every cheap place. Because if we raise our daughters and our granddaughters, the children that are in our church, that the only time that they will feel comfortable is if they know that they are in the palace, and they are feeling like royalty around us. We're king of the King of Kings makes them feel special and real. And their moms and dads and the people that God has called in the house of the Lord will encourage them and build them up. If we do that in our young girls and our young ladies, when they get in the atmosphere of a cheap place, they will want to run because they know that's not where they belong. Let them always desire to be in the atmosphere where there's safety, there's purpose, and never at the hand of anyone who has a desire to change or to thwart the destiny that God has on their lives. I read this story about Muhammad Ali, the former boxer, and that one of his daughters was growing up and she became to be the boxer in the family because there was no sons. And one night, Muhammad Ali was at his home and his two daughters were going to come and visit him. And when they were going, they were wearing clothes that were very revealing. And the story goes on to say that when they went to the house and they walked in, that their dad looked at them and he said, girls, Everything that God made was valuable in the world. He said everything that God made in the world was valuable and covered up and hard to get to. Listen to what the story goes on to say. He said to those girls, he said, "Where do you find diamonds? Deep down in the ground and protected." He then said, "Where do you find pearls? At the bottom of the ocean, protected by a beautiful shell." He said to them, "Where do you find fine, pure gold?" He says, "Down in the depths of the earth, covered with layers and layers of rock that you have to work hard to get to." He said, "Your body is much more valuable and sacred than diamonds and pearls and gold, and it needs to be covered up." Come on, my brothers and my sisters. Pillars in the palace means that our daughters would see themselves as costly, as rare and expensive, and a part of the king's family. And a part of my job as a father and now as a grandfather is to remind my granddaughters how beautiful they are. And I doubt, and I know, I never had regular daughters myself. I had three sons, but now I have two granddaughters, and no one except for their mom and dad tells them more than I do how beautiful they are, how lovely they are, how special they are. I say, "The world is this big, but Poppy loves you this much." I tell them how sweet. Every time I see them, I say, "How did you get so beautiful?" And they go, "My mommy." Then I pay him off and I'll say, "How did you get beautiful? My Poppy." But I want them to hear it from me and not from somebody else, because the day that someone else comes along, and God pity the fool when he does, I don't want my girls to hear some guy saying, "Oh, you're fine, you're nice, you're cute, you're hot, you're the." I want them, when they hear that, to discount all that and say, "I've been in the palace with my father, with my grandfather. They've told me how beautiful I am since the day I could understand language, and nothing you could say is going to impress me to do something that I know I shouldn't." And we have a call in our church to watch out for that. And you know, I apologize right now up front to any man who is coming into this house, checking out a woman and laying your eyes on her, because if that woman is in relationship with me in any way, she is going to send you to me, and I purposely am going to check you from the top to the bottom, and I probably won't be nice about it. I have been duly noted that I have met men in my office who have asked me to date women in the church, and I've pulled out my Maasai club, my Maasai sword, and I have said to them, "You touch them in an appropriate way, you will deal with these things that are in my hand." Praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you today. Because our girls are pillars in the palace. And we are not going to turn them over to just anyone or anybody. They are precious in the sight of God. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your hand on our children today. Come on, will you put your hands together and thank God for His grace today? I want you to bow your head with me and just close your eyes. Just for a moment, I'm going to pray and I'm going to close. And I know that there may be parents today. You may be sitting here and your children may be somewhere where they shouldn't be, with someone that they shouldn't be with. And this message is not to make you feel bad or condemn. This message is to call you to a place of prayer and believe in God that He will raise them up. And as we pray today, that the angel of the Lord would encamp around them and bring them back to the place where they need to be. Keep your eyes closed, your heads bowed, just for a moment. Because it's just right at this moment, you're taking an inventory of your life with your children. Where are you with that? You may be a grandparent or a great-grandparent. Maybe your kids are just scattered. It's not too late. As long as you're here taking in air, you can begin to pray for them. And believe God that he will redeem them out of the mess. They don't need to go out into the world and experience what the world says is fun. They need to have that encounter with a living God that will change their life and send them on the course of their destiny and their purpose in their life like none other. Hallelujah. Father, today we pray for our sons and our daughters, for our children, Lord, our own personal children and the children that are in this church, in our community, in our circle of life. God, that you would protect them. And Lord, for those who are away from home this moment, I pray that you would now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, begin to draw them, begin to work upon them, and give them no rest until they come to the place of total surrender to who you are. God, for that, we praise you. I'm praying right now. Keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed just for a minute. I sense a son. I sense a daughter away from God. I sense a heart of a mom and a dad that's hurting this morning over that. God wants to help. He wants to lift you up. He wants to bring hope and encouragement to you. Maybe you're a mom or dad here today. Maybe you've got little children. You got babies. You're wondering, God, how do I do this? I don't know how. They didn't come with a manual when they came out of the womb. I want you to know today, number one, you got to give your life to Christ. And when you do, he will help you. He will encourage you. He will set you on a course of blessing and purpose in your life and in your family. I want prayer team to come down here this morning. I'm going to close in prayer. Today, before you leave, if you need prayer for anything in your life, if you're mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, maybe you just know some children you've got a burden for, you've been praying for them, God wants to help you with that. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to come alongside of you and just encourage you and lift you up today. Give you the hope and the help that you need. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, you need to do that before you leave today. Because if you don't do that, you're not going to make it in life. Benjamin, I want you to come up and close in prayer. Benny's going to close in prayer, and when he does, when he says amen, if that's you, you need help today, I want you to come down. These folks are going to pray for you and believe God with you. Benny, pray.
Please keep your eyes closed. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for what you've shared with us. We thank you that our hearts were open today to receive your message. But Lord, we pray that we'll live this week, and everything that we say and that we do, we'll think of you, and that we'll be mindful of the plan and the destiny that you have for our life. Thank you very much for this time that you've given us this morning, and we pray that you'll bless us this week. I pray that you'll put a special blessing on the folks that are here that honored you today. And everyone here said, amen. God bless you all. Have a great week. If you want prayer, please come down. We'd love to pray with you. God bless you.
Yeah, go ahead. Give the Lord one.